On a black screen, 3D chrome text flies in over a bright flare, RLJE Films. Black smoke drifts across thick red letters, Shutter. They twitch and separate as if sliced. Bands of rainbow light slide across a black screen, illuminating pieces of letters. The letters gradually appear and turn white, AMP. On a black screen, a cartoon eyeball and set of teeth wear suits and yellow bowler hats. Below, in yellow, IVOX. The eye blinks. White capital serif letters rotate over a dim red dot of light. RLJE Films and Shudder present, rotating in the opposite direction, an Alliance Media Partners production in association with IVOX Entertainment. Behind the white letters, the red light illuminates growing 3D text.
I heard he came in pretty messed up.
Well, we're about to find out.
The text flashes red and comes into focus. Suitable flesh. A zipper opens from darkness, revealing the tops of two faces, a heavyset man and a blonde woman.
It's impossible to tell that's a person. Much less who it is.
Well, you wanted a look-see.
The woman rests a blue-gloved hand on the open zipper. They peer inside.
He was beautiful once.
A fluorescent panel shines behind their heads.
They all look pretty much the same on the inside.
He squints. A gloved hand zips a body bag closed. The blonde woman bustles toward a door.
You know, doctor.
She turns.
I don't envy you.
They strip off the gloves.
Having to work with these when they're still alive?
He wasn't one of mine.
Well, they all end up one of mine eventually.
He smirks.
Cute.
In a hallway, the doctor turns toward a uniformed security guard.
Hey, Dr. Upton. Did I hear they got Dr. Derby down here?
She nods tightly.
I'm afraid so.
You be careful now. You know, my old man used to say, friends are the most dangerous.
No?
Her badge.
Why is that?
Daniela Upton.
Because they're friends.
She squares her shoulders.
Yeah.
And paces down a cinder block hallway. On a red sign, psych ward security. Outside, sun shines on a six-story building. Words appear, Miskatonic Medical School, Arkham, Massachusetts. Inside, two men in scrubs sit in a windowless office with steel mesh doors.
Heads up, gentlemen.
The men flank Daniela as she strides down a yellow hallway. Beyond her big glasses, her makeup is pristine. The men stand a head taller than she does. One of them, sporting a thick mustache, twirls a baton. They turn toward a metal door with a reinforced pane. Daniela frowns through the glass into a room with dirty white walls. A golden-haired figure in a hospital gown faces away from the door, rocking. Daniela turns to one of the men who pulls out a ring of keys. He fits one into the door. The trio enter the room. The golden-haired woman is middle-aged. Her huge blue eyes are shadowed and puffy. She swivels.
Did they cremate the body? Is he dead? Really dead?
They start the autopsy in a few minutes.
No.
She grabs Daniela's shoulders.
He can still get me.
He's dead.
Mustache man unfolds his baton.
You're sure of that.
Danny, I need you to believe
that. Control yourself.
Sandwiched between the man's arm and the padded wall, Beth's shoulders fall.
Let her go.
Man, she's dangerous.
She's my patient. I'm your friend. I know how this sounds, but if he does it again, it's forever.
Give us a minute.
He points his baton at Beth. Danny looks grim. Beth wrings her hands and swallows hard.
Who exactly is he?
We can't go through this again. We don't have time. I don't have time.
You must recognize your symptoms.
Yes. Paranoid schizophrenia.
Beth slides down the wall and sits.
How could you understand? Unless it happened to you.
Okay. Tell me from the beginning.
I thought I had everything.
Beth, sitting in an office.
A successful practice. An ideal husband. A suitable life.
Beth nodding as a short man gestures.
Until that thing knocked at my door. I thought I was in control.
She thinks I'm weak.
What do you think?
I think she has no idea how hard it is.
Hard how?
I mean, the urge. I try to control it, but I just give in.
So it's your weakness?
You don't have to put words in my mouth.
I'm afraid we ran out of time.
She makes me feel like a street corner drug addict. I'm not a junkie. I'm an English professor.
Well, let's discuss it next session.
Look, I will have beaten this by then, doctor, okay?
He crumples a cigarette pack.
They want me to perish, all of them. My colleagues, the dean, my wife. I'm not who they think I am.
He wags a finger and tosses the pack in a trash bin.
Well, until the next chapter, professor.
Right. Thank you.
He turns his back. She moves from a muted waiting room into an airy office and gazes out a lofty window, stretching her neck. Her pale blue slacks and Oxford shirt blend in with the clear sky and dove gray decor. From above, her client fumbles with his car keys in a parking lot. Watching, she gently shakes her head. Beth looks to the doors between the office and the waiting room, then to her wrist. A shaggy-haired boy cracks the office door.
Can I help you?
You're Dr. Elizabeth Derby?
Yes.
Can I talk to you? Please.
I'm sorry, you can make an appointment with my service.
Please. I need your help.
He grabs her arm. The professor squints at them from the waiting room doorway.
Did you forget something, professor?
He snatches the cigarettes out of the trash bin and holds them up.
Carry on.
He exits, walking backward.
Sorry.
It's all right. Why are you here?
I'm a student at Miskatonic. I read your book.
Which one?
The one on out-of-body experiences.
As a symptom of schizophrenia.
I was outside my body.
His dark eyes bounce around.
Come in. Sit down.
Thanks.
He takes a seat in front of her desk.
What's your name?
She settles behind it.
Ace-08.
His leg bounces.
The first thing you should know is that you're not alone.
No, I am. No one understands.
You'd be surprised. A lot of psych students think they see symptoms of what they're studying in their own behavior, but it doesn't mean that you have a problem.
No, I didn't read it for school. I read it because it happened to me.
He looks at her through his hair. His head snaps toward his book bag.
That's okay, you can get that.
His hands twist in his lap.
I know this sounds crazy, but I'm afraid to talk to him.
To whom?
I don't know how it happens, but it felt like he did it. Like he has this power over me.
Who has a power over you, Mr. Wade?
His mouth trembles.
He wants to do it again, I know it.
Wants what?
He wants my body.
Who is this person that you're afraid of?
My father. He's looking for me. Can you come home with me?
I'm sorry, but I don't go to clients' homes. No,
it's not far. Just at the end of High Street, number 33. Please.
Let me call the psychiatric department at Miskatonic. I can tell them that it's an emergency.
They both stare at Ace's bag. He reaches into it and opens a flip phone with both hands. His mouth hangs open.
It's him. No. No, I won't talk to you, okay? You have to stop it. I've gone to see someone. Someone help me.
His hand quakes.
No. 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 No.
Asa's eyes roll back into his head.
Lisa.
He pitches forward. He falls onto all fours, fat veins bulging from his head and neck. Beth scrambles to his side. His limbs shudder. His left hand convulses. His left ring finger curls. His shoulders heave. His body relaxes. He sits back on his heels and pushes his hair out of his face.
How are you feeling?
Like shit.
His eyes skim a sleek, orderly bookshelf, then slide over Beth's physique.
You're a doctor.
He blinks languidly.
Well, that's why you're here.
He pushes himself into his chair.
Well, take it easy.
She leans on her desk. On the armrest, his left ring finger is curled.
Am I stricken?
What do you mean?
Am I ill?
Do you remember our conversation, Mr. Waite?
Well, it depends. What did I say?
Well, that you had an out-of-body experience.
He smirks.
You know, you shouldn't believe any young cunt when he talks crazy.
Do you often talk crazy?
I believe the appropriate response to that is... it's none of your fucking business. You wouldn't happen to have a cigarette, would you?
This is a medical office. There's no smoking.
Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I just fucking hate the modern world.
You said you needed help. I want to help you.
Perhaps. Someday.
I'll waive my fee. It won't cost you anything.
Beth bends over her desk and writes on a business card. He surveys the tight seat of her pants. He reaches out. As she turns around, he redirects the gesture to his hair.
This is my personal number.
Well, that's very forward of you.
He rises.
Dr. Darby.
He closes the gap between them.
Well, I want to help you, Asa.
Her eyes go wide.
Excuse me.
She pushes his hand away from her crotch.
I'm not so sure you can.
He meets her eyes, leering. Toe-to-toe with Beth, he retrieves his phone from the floor.
Yeah.
He pivots fluidly and scoops up his bag.
But I'll keep that door open, just in case.
He slips into the waiting room.
Watching him leave, I was shocked. But I couldn't shake him from my thoughts. And then I broke our profession's most sacred rule.
Beth pours wine.
I took my work home with me. It's definitely multiple personality disorder. It's the most dramatic case I've ever seen. He transitions through seizures and extreme somatic symptoms.
A chiseled man puts a whole bass on a table.
Oh, I'd love a glass. Thanks, Doc.
Sorry, hon. I think he's terrified of some male figure. Early child abuse is the classic cause of MPD.
Well, he's not a patient?
Not yet, but he could be the subject of a major case study. And he needs help.
Well, how was your day, Edward? Oh, you know, I'm just fine. I woke up, I worked out, had 3 job interviews with bro bosses half my age, cried in the car, I came home and found a modicum of solace in this branzino before thee.
He gestures at the bass.
I'm sorry. You're right. How was your day, Eddie?
Oh, it's okay. You listen to people talk all day. I'm sure there's something else we can figure out.
I've come a long way from the ocean. Will you find a new home for me? In your belly. In your belly.
Stop.
Eat me.
Edward kisses the bass.
Stop.
On a TV screen, water crashes along a beach. In a dimly lit bedroom, Edward leans down and kisses Beth, who lies flaccidly on her back. He thrusts steadily on top of her with his face buried in her neck. She purses her lips and looks away. Her hands rest lightly on his shoulders. A ceiling fan spins above them.
Is that good?
She stares at the fan. Asa stares back at her from between the blades. Edward slides down. Asa slides up and leans over Beth. She gasps, running her hand down his upper arm. Asa smirks. Asa pushes his tongue into her mouth. They kiss passionately. Gripping his shoulder, she flips him onto his back and straddles him. She holds his hands to her breasts in her satin nightgown. Off Asa, they lie side by side. From the other side of the bed, Edward leans over and kisses Beth. Her eyes are wide and dazed. Outside Beth's office, Beth approaches a car and slides into the driver's seat.
Please, I need your help.
I'm not so sure you can.
I was outside my body.
I don't know how it happens, but it felt like he did it.
My father,
he wants my body. Can you come home with me? It's not far, just at the end of High Street, number 33.
But I'll keep that door open, just in case.
Please.
Beth parks in front of a cream-colored Victorian home.
So, what compelled you to go to the house?
I know how it sounds, but I really couldn't control myself. My mind was drawn to him.
She peers through a gap in the newspaper covering the glass front door. Through the door, sunlight spills past long curtains over dark wood furniture and damask wallpaper.
Hello? Hello?
She opens double pocket doors and treads into a sitting room. On a table, a book, Out of Mind Body, Transference and Psychosis by Dr. Elizabeth Derby. She flips it over and examines a large photo of herself. She picks up a photo in a frame. A white-haired man smiles with his arm around Asa's shoulder. Asa wears a mortarboard and robe.
Hello?
In the next room.
Excuse me, sir?
The white-haired man slumps behind an imposing desk.
Are you all right?
Beth leans closer. His eyes snap open.
Can you tell me what's wrong?
She pulls a brown bottle from his pocket. She dumps out a pill and puts it on his tongue. He chews with effort and leans back.
You have a serious heart condition, Mr. Waite.
Oh, well, thank you for the obvious diagnosis, Dr. Derby.
You know who I am.
I recognize your likeness from your book. I figured you'd come.
Well, then you know I'm looking for Asa. He told you he came to see me? Is he here?
Oh, he ran off days ago.
You don't sound very upset about him being missing.
Well, in my own defense, the boy's never been much earthly use.
He rolls a cigarette.
Was that what children are for? To be used?
Oh, that's what everyone's for. Except me. Now I'm no damn use at all. And since I'm stricken.
He holds up a curled hand.
Stricken? Do you mean you had a stroke?
Yeah, I had a stroke and heart attack and cancer, and I beat them all.
He lights the cigarette on a candle flame. Beth leans over illustrations of monsters and arcane symbols on the desk.
What is this book?
Oh, it's entitled None of Your Fucking Business. Look at you. You move right in. You just take over. You assume you deserve my respect.
Asa came to me for help. He is a seriously troubled young man. He needs clinical care.
Make no mistake, my flesh and blood are finally failing me. No, but my mind is still sharper than a serpent's tooth, in spite of a thankless child. And my eyesight, I still... I appreciate a fine figure when I see one.
Listen to me, sir. It is dangerous in Asa's state to be left unsupervised, and given your condition...
Look, don't you worry about me and my boy. You just tend to your own affairs.
He slides his finger between two of hers.
If Asa comes back, have him call me. If you care about him at all.
Of course I care about him. He's my son. He's... He's my salvation.
He blows smoke rings.
Listen to me, friend. I just need to make one phone call.
What, doctor?
He pulls a curved knife from a drawer and brandishes it.
Dr. Derby, this house call is over.
She backs away. He lowers the knife and curls over his knees. She edges closer to him. The knife flashes. She jumps back, holding her hand.
Get out! Get out!
She hurries from the room. Blood from the knife blade smears the open pages of the book. The blood disappears into the yellowed paper. In Beth's office.
So, I went back to my life, and I tried to focus on my work.
Her bandaged finger taps on her armrest.
But something wouldn't let me.
Asa's face appears and vanishes.
The other day, I was shaking and sweating. I couldn't see straight. I wanted to...
You wanted to what?
I wanted to hit him.
But you didn't.
No. In my mind, I hit him.
He frowns.
And I did it again and again, and I liked it. I mean, I love him, but I really liked thinking about beating him.
He lies stiffly on his chaise.
What do I do?
We could try hypnosis.
Will it stop the urges?
It could. Do I have your consent, Mr. Crawley? Okay.
She dims the lights.
Breathe regularly. Clear your mind.
Am I going to lose consciousness or control or...
It's just a relaxation technique. Now, look at this pen. Really look at it. Look at the light shining off of it. Let your mind float, free, drifting up towards the ceiling. Your mind is floating out of your body. Now, you are alone, alone with the person you love. How do you feel?
Crowley is limp.
He doesn't love me. He can't. I hate him.
His dangling hand resolves into a fist.
I don't want to hit him.
He raises it.
The tighter you clench your hand, the less you feel the urge to hate. Do you feel it subsiding?
Yes, I do.
Beth looks up from Crowley's trembling fist. He stares ahead. His body quakes. Beth approaches the door.
Doctor.
Asa.
I tried to run away. I tried to escape from him.
In the chaise, Crowley's fist shakes. She glances back at him and slips into the waiting room with Asa.
I have a client. Just wait here.
He grips her wrist.
He wants my body.
Your father? What did he do to you?
You saw what he did.
Saw what?
You were there in your office, okay? You saw it happen.
I'm taking you to Miskatonic. And then we're calling the police.
You don't believe me. I can't fight him. I can't do it, okay? That old sick body. I'd rather die.
You don't mean that.
But he's stealing my life.
On his t-shirt, two interlocking squares. Beth grabs his thigh.
Then he'll have to steal mine, too. I'm glad you came back. Stay here.
Crowley's fist trembles. His face is flushed.
Oh, damn it.
He stares.
Your stress is gone. Your mind is clear. Your body is relaxed. Drifting down. Back into your body. When I tap three times, you'll return to consciousness.
I'm ready.
I'm sorry, but there's been an emergency. I need to escort a patient to the hospital immediately.
I don't feel any different.
Well, we'll do a follow-up next time. Just remember, when you feel the urge to violence, just make a fist. Make a fist. Now, please excuse me.
Beth scans the deserted waiting room. Her shoulders slump.
Yeah.
At home, Beth drops keys on a dresser. Behind her, Edward sits shirtless in bed.
Long day, Doc?
Difficult day.
You want to talk about it? Pro bono?
I can't. Patient-client privilege. You know how it goes.
Would he like a roll in the hay?
I wish. I have some notes I have to make. I'm going to be up for a while.
Well, you know I can't sleep very well without you.
I can prescribe you something for that.
So can I.
Beth's phone lights up on the dresser. She moves away from Edward.
No.
He catches her sleeve.
It might be a patient.
She pulls away.
Yes?
Doctor?
Asa.
Was that him?
Please, I can't stop him.
Asa, call the police.
Police?
Where are you? Asa. Asa? I have to go. It's an emergency.
What kind of emergency? No, you call the police. You let them handle it. You're just his doctor.
Stop it, Eddie. It's my job.
It's not your job I'm worried about.
It's gonna be okay. You're sweet. I'll be right back.
Beth's nude-colored high heels climb the sweeping stairs of the Wade's house.
Asa! Asa!
Inside, Beth hurries through the entry hall and sitting room.
Asa!
She opens the office door.
Asa!
Mr. Waits lies on his side next to an overturned lamp.
Mr. Waits.
She shifts him onto his back. He looks toward the door.
Where are your pills?
His left hand is curled on his chest. She digs fruitlessly in his pockets. She dials her smartphone.
Hello, this is a medical emergency. Someone is having a heart attack.
No!
Asa barrels into the room and throws Beth's phone.
What are you doing?
Help me, not him!
Asa throws open the desk drawer and pulls out the knife.
He's dying!
Good. He has to stop it!
Asa! Give me the knife! This is not you! This is him, not you! Give me the knife! Do you want to go to jail for the rest of your life?
Asa hovers over his father, extending the knife.
Give me the knife.
He allows Beth to take it away.
Please, 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 just let me kill him.
Where are his pills?
No.
Give me the pills.
Stop.
Give me the pills. Give me the pills.
Let go.
Beth upends the bottle into her hand as she kneels.
Let him die. Let him die, please.
She forces one into the man's mouth. Asa paces. She lifts Mr. Waite's curled left hand and feels his wrist.
Is he dead?
Beth purses her lips.
How long does the brain live after the body dies?
It's over. Whatever pain he caused you, whatever he did to you, your father can't hurt you anymore.
It's not my father. Okay? It stole my father's life and now it wants mine.
We're gonna call the police and then we're gonna get you help.
No, you can't call the police! Cut off his head, cut out his brain!
He holds out the knife.
He has no power over you except in your mind.
His mind. You don't understand. His mind has the power, okay? That day we met in your office, okay? That was the second time. If it happens again, then it's over. It's over. It always comes in threes.
I can help you. Let me help you.
No. Then help me cut his head off and burn him. Okay, if he can speak, if he says it one more time.
Mr. Waite's curled left hand shoots up, his eyes open. Asa swings the knife. Mr. Waite grabs Asa's throat and chants.
Figure out. Come on. Fatah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Both men fall to the floor, seizing. Beth kneels. Mr. Waite's left hand straightens. Asa's hands curl and twitch. Mr. Waite lies motionless on his back. Asa struggles into a chair. Beth stares. Asa sits back and pushes his hair out of his face. Beth crouches in front of the desk.
Asa, you had a seizure.
A seizure?
You could call it that.
Do you remember what happened?
He raises his eyebrows.
I thought he was dead.
Oh, he's dead, all right.
We have to report what happened, and then I want to take you to the hospital for observation.
What is it you'd like to observe?
Well, Issa, a man died.
Your doctors are all the same. You ask a lot of questions, but you don't like answering them, do you?
Well, have you seen a lot of other doctors?
Doctors, healers, potion dealers.
He stands.
Lots and lots of priests.
Well, do they explain why this happens to you? Why you forget who you are?
They stand eye to eye.
I know why. The devil makes me do it.
He slinks closer.
I think you change personalities to escape the pain and the rage you feel because of what he did to you.
And you came to save me, didn't you?
She looks down at his mouth.
My hero.
Well, what you're experiencing is called transference. You're transferring the feelings you couldn't express to your father, to your doctor, to me.
She stands back against the desk.
But I must have really wanted to fuck my old man.
He stares up into her face. Well,
I'm gonna go get help. I want you to come with me.
And I wanna come inside you.
He blocks her path.
Don't make it worse.
Then let me make it better.
He nudges her nose with his.
You don't understand what you're doing.
Oh, I know exactly what I'm doing.
She sits back onto the desk. He pushes himself between her legs. She runs her hands over his chest. He pulls off his t-shirt. He pushes up her leather skirt. She pulls him closer by his belt loops. His hand is buried in her gold hair. She grips his back. He holds her jaw steady and kisses her. Her feet dangle close to Mr. Waite's body. Her fingers dig into his shoulders. Fly open. Asa's body shakes between her legs. His face contorts. Next to her thigh, strands of her hair cling to his straightening hand. Her legs shake. A dreaded smile spreads across Beth's face. Asa brings a hand to his mouth and tumbles back on the floor. Beth sits back and pushes her hair out of her face.
Interesting.
Asa scrambles into a corner and cowers.
Yes.
Beth stands and looms over him.
This is a magnificent body.
She feels herself.
It suits me. It suits me well. Yes. I want it. I want your body. Very.
They both seize. Beth falls to her hands and knees. Her left ring finger is curled. Asa's head knocks against the bookshelf. His left hand curls into a claw as Beth's ring finger straightens. Their bodies relax. Asa lifts his head from his chest and opens his eyes.
What just happened?
He smirks at her. He pushes himself to his feet and shakes his hair out of his eyes.
The first time is always the most painful and quickest.
He zips up his jeans.
I promise, it gets easier.
Beth gets up shakily. Asa plops down behind the desk.
No, but I was in your body.
I was in yours.
No, no, I don't mean it like that. I mean my mind was in your body.
Well, I guess I'm...
He lights a cigarette on a candle.
If anybody ever tells you to go fuck yourself, you can tell them you have.
We have to figure out what happened.
You will, Doctor.
You will.
Mr. Wade's body is gone.
Shit! Petulant child! Asa! Come back here!
He rushes away. Beth lifts the old book from the desk and opens it. Ink and colored pencil illustrations surrounded by unrecognizable text show a partially flayed face, a curved knife, a horned worm, and Cthulhu, whose lower face is a mass of curving tentacles. One image is smeared with drops of blood. Beth stares at it. Its deep-set eye glows yellow, then red. She drops the book. Pills scatter on the hardwood. One rolls into a crack and disappears. She squints at the crack. She bends and pulls back a rug, revealing a brass ring in the floor. She pulls the ring and a trap door opens. Stairs descend into gloom.
Help! Help me! It's me!
Mr. Waits holds out shaking hands and grabs Beth by the shoulders. He bumps into the desk and the candle rolls over the rug to the curtains. A hand grabs the curved knife from the floor. Asa plunges the knife into Mr. Waits' throat. Blood splatters onto Beth. Mr. Waits falls to his knees. Asa grips his hair with one hand and saws into his throat with the other. Blood dapples Asa's face and drips over his bare torso. Beth backs against the bookshelf. Asa darts his tongue over his lips. He jerks the knife through the tough tissue. Blood cascades onto the rug. Mr. Waits' eyes fix on Beth, then close. Asa holds the severed head, ligaments trailing. Flames climb the curtains behind him. He extends the head toward Beth. Mr. Waits' eyes fly open. Claret blood seeps between his lips. Asa cackles. Beth bolts. Asa drops the head.
Too much?
Outside, yellow light flickers in the windows. Beth hurries down the front steps. She jumps into her car and speeds away. Flames leap onto the porch.
And that's when I went to see you.
I didn't grasp how bad it was.
You were frantic, hallucinating. I just thought...
A coffee machine.
Sounds like you had an out-of-body experience.
In an office, Danny sits at a desk.
Yes. No. I felt his mind going into my body. It was pain like I've never felt before.
Of course it was painful. You felt guilty about your feelings for this patient because you love your husband.
Danny vapes.
And because you're a dedicated doctor. So you projected your ego onto one of the people you felt you'd wronged. Your patient. Hell, Beth, you wrote the book.
Okay, maybe, but it felt so real. He spoke in this language that I didn't understand, and I felt like I was in his body. It was like he made it happen.
So, you used a fantasy to spice up your sex life. And now, you're creating another one to displace your guilt. You're blaming the victim.
I don't know, Danny. I think I'm losing my mind. What should I do?
You did the right thing. You came to see me first.
She sits beside her.
We'll get through this.
Danny strokes Beth's face.
But you have to admit what you've done.
So I should call the police?
And tell them what? That a young male patient you slept with murdered the reanimated corpse of his father? No. You have to understand what really happened last night. Is it possible he drugged you?
I don't know.
All right, we'll figure it out together. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Yeah. Let me get you a fresh shirt. And you should talk to Eddie. You can't work through this, Beth, till you face it. All of it. You taught me that.
You're right.
Damn right I'm right. through all kinds of weather.
The women interlace their fingers.
We stick together.
And no more house calls, okay?
There'd be monsters.
Beth pulls her SUV up to her white colonial house. She gazes into her own wide eyes in her rearview mirror. She removes her left hand from the steering wheel and flexes her fingers, examining them. Shouldering her purse, she steps out of her car. She spots an unmarked white Crown Victoria parked in front of her house. Watching it over her shoulder, she crosses the lawn to her front door.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
The police are here.
Dr. Elizabeth Derby?
Yes.
I'm Detective Ledger, and this is Officer Huxley.
Ma'am.
We have a couple of questions we'd like to ask, if you don't mind. Were you at the home of an Ephraim Waite at 33 High Street last night?
Yes. A patient called and said that it was an emergency.
Right. That's what the young man said.
So you talked to the young man?
Asa Wait. Yes, he said that you were a great help to him. Oh, you must have dropped your phone when you left.
He hands it over.
Thank you.
Don't worry, I didn't peek.
The fire department found it near the home.
There was a fairly serious fire that destroyed much of the first floor. Mr. Wait said that you left before the fire started. Is that right?
Yes. Is everyone okay?
The young man is fine.
And what about his father?
He wasn't on the premises. Mr. Waite, the young man, said that he disappeared several days ago. He's been reported as a missing person. Anyway, we just wanted to return your property to you. Oh, sorry to go all Columbo on you, but I had one more question. There was a phone call placed from your phone to 911 emergency services last night reporting that someone was having a heart attack. Who was that? Having a heart attack.
I misdiagnosed a panic attack in the young man as a cardiac event. That's why I cut off the call. I realized that I was mistaken.
Oh, I see. We all make mistakes. Have a nice day.
Ma'am.
Have a nice day, officers.
It definitely peaked.
Beth, I was so worried about you.
Don't, Eddie.
You were gone all night. There was a fire? Somebody had a heart attack?
Let's sit down.
Okay. What happened?
The patient was very troubled. I still don't understand.
Just tell me.
We had sex.
Edward swallows.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was a mistake, a terrible mistake. I lost myself.
There's blood on you.
The wound gushing in Mr. Waite's neck.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I can't look at you right now.
Edward climbs the stairs.
So I left. Where else could I go? What else could I do?
You should have come back to me.
You wouldn't have understood. You couldn't have. I thought it was better to be alone. I didn't realize it was already impossible for me to be alone. Ever again.
In Beth's twilight office, she switches on lamps and opens the window, letting a breeze ruffle her hair. She turns around.
Asa.
He shuts the waiting room doors behind him. He shuts off the lamps. Beth is silhouetted in the window. She slides the hem of her leather pencil skirt up her thighs and widens her stance. She perches on the windowsill. Asa stands between her feet and kisses her. She leans her head back out the window. Asa sinks to his knees in front of her and moves her knees apart. He tilts his face up at her, then buries it up under her skirt. Moonlight shines behind her. She weaves her fingers through his hair and grabs a handful at the back of his head. Beth's eyes go wide. Mr. Waite raises his head from between her legs. He grabs her ankles and flips her backward out the window. Asa gets to his feet and watches her fall in slow motion, pinwheeling her arms and screaming silently. Mr. Waite leans out the window. Beth careens toward the pavement. In Beth's office, she slams back against the headrest of the chaise. She shifts to one side and plants her feet on the floor. Her borrowed shirt is half untucked and her hair is disheveled. She crosses to the waiting room, suddenly dressed neatly in a blue blouse and miniskirt.
Great work today.
Thank you, Doctor.
A woman with glasses follows her.
I can see now it's only a dream.
We'll see you next week.
I thought you said I could reduce my sessions to a monthly basis.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been losing track of time lately.
I always find myself wishing I could turn back the hands of time. Well, until next month.
Yeah.
They both nod. On her smartphone, the image of Edward grinning with a big fish. She taps and lifts the phone.
Hi, Eddie. I'm coming home. I'll do whatever it takes.
Professor?
He smokes.
Doctor? But what about our session?
She sweeps past him. At home, Beth's bare legs move up the stairs. At the Waits, the trap door is charred. In a windowless room, a bare bulb illuminates a tarp and a pair of handcuffs. Asa pads in, undressing. In a tile bathroom, a showerhead drips slowly. Wrapped in a towel, Beth slips from the bathroom into a large closet. She stares into a mirror. In the windowless room, Asa handcuffs his left wrist to a post and lights a hand-rolled cigarette. In front of the mirror, Beth presses her hands to her neck, flexing her left hand and curling her ring finger. Asa holds the flip phone to his ear. Beth jumps. On her phone, unknown caller. She looks at her reflection, then at a satin robe hanging behind her. Wearing the robe, she takes a deep breath and grabs her phone.
Asa.
You left in such a hurry the other night. I didn't get to thank you.
What did you do? Did you drug me?
And what happened to your father?
Sorry to cut you off, but, you know, I was just getting ready to head out.
Asa sits with his back to the pole, his restrained arm extended over his head.
I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed the use of your body.
You'd be surprised.
Her face pinches.
It was unlike anything I've ever.
I need to understand what happened that night.
If you insist.
Asa chants.
Shigaroth, come on. Vitalian, come on. Yeah, come on.
They both pitch forward and drop their phones. Their faces contort. Their limbs shake. Asa's weight pulls against the handcuffs. As Ace's left hand unfolds, Beth's spasms and curls. Beth plants her hand on the marble countertop. She pushes herself to her feet, her twisted left hand close to her chest. She stares through her hair at her reflection and exhales through bared teeth. She tosses her hair out of her face. In the windowless room, Asa looks around, shaking. He yanks on the handcuffs. He spots the flip phone and snatches it up.
Asa! Asa! What have you done to me? Asa! Asa, pick up the phone! Pick up the phone, please! Please, you can't do this!
Sorry.
No.
Wrong number.
Beth runs her curled left hand over her chest and unties her robe. She raises her eyebrows and smirks at her exposed chest and belly in the mirror. Her hands slide down the sides of her robe, making the material cling to her skin. She reaches her curled left hand under the hem. Her head falls back. She smiles slowly. In the windowless room, Asa pulls on the handcuffs. He braces one foot against the pole and yanks. He slumps, hunched over his knees. He looks up and scans the room.
It's really
hair obscures half of his face. He sits back on one heel. He spots the heavy Victorian lamp that holds the bare light bulb. He grabs it and uses it to sweep light over the sparse room. In a far corner, something like a gigantic insect leg covered in flies sticks out of a pile of dark slime. Asa points the light at it and gapes. A tapestry on the wall shows arcane symbols and a five-pointed star made of tentacles with an eye at its center.
Demon octopus. Awesome.
Beth saunters down her staircase in the pink satin robe and surveys the living room. She spots a wedding photo of herself and Edward, a lot younger. She looks down at a slim gold ring on her left curled hand and pulls a face.
Shit, I'm married.
She blows hair out of her face. Asa yanks on the cuffs. He sits back against the pole, propping himself up with his right hand on the cement floor. A white pill sticks to his palm. He examines it. Slowly, he looks toward the ceiling. In Mr. Waite's office, pills jumping back into the bottle, Asa grabs the flip phone. In Danny's office, the door is open. She types at her desk. She glances toward the hallway and surreptitiously pulls on her vape. As someone passes her door, she twists awkwardly and exhales behind her. A phone lights up. Unknown caller.
Dr. Danielle Upton?
It's me.
I'm sorry, who's this?
I'm a friend of Elizabeth Derby's, okay? She needs your help.
What kind of help?
She's in danger.
Danger? What do you mean?
No, look, there's no time, okay? She needs help from a friend.
I thought you said you were her friend.
I can't help her. I don't know if anybody can, but I know that she needs you. Like you needed her.
In a photo on her desk, Danny and Beth hugging.
What did you say you were again?
It doesn't matter, okay? What matters is that if you don't come, Elizabeth might die.
or whatever makes her who she is, Mike.
Okay. What's the address?
It's 33 High Street. In a basement, I think. There should be a trapdoor in the library under her rug. Okay, hurry! Danny, please.
In Beth's living room, her curled left hand lies in her lap. She pours several shots worth of brandy from a decanter into a glass. She props her bare feet on a coffee table. Edward opens the front door in a suit. Beth reaches under a cushion and slides out a chef knife. She looks Edward up and down. She pushes the knife back under the cushion. She gestures with her glass.
Hello, dear.
Okay, Beth. You said you wanted to talk. Let's talk.
Why don't we have a drink first? You want one?
Well, it looks like you've been drinking enough for the both of us.
To our future together.
Edward squints at her from across the room.
I feel better. I feel like a new woman.
She flexes her toes.
Okay.
He takes off his sport coat.
What's going on with you?
Well, dear, why don't we start fresh? I'm Elizabeth. Can I bum a smoke?
You don't smoke. You don't usually drink during the day, and you don't sleep with your clients. Who the hell are you?
I told you.
She stands.
I'm Elizabeth. And you are Mr.
She bites his lip.
Okay, what the hell? What aren't you telling me?
Just some things that you don't want to know.
She shoves him against a pillar.
Okay, you said you would do whatever it takes.
She drops to her knees and undoes his belt.
If that's what you want.
I don't know what you want.
She grabs his hands and swings him onto the couch. A candle falls off a table behind him. He stares up at her as she settles onto his lap. He watches her hand dip below the cushion and emerge with the knife.
What are you doing?
No more questions.
She traces the tip from his lips down his tight shirt. She yanks his pants down. He flashes a smile. She drags the flat side of the blade down his torso again. She slides it between his thigh and boxer briefs. She jerks the knife upward. She tosses the knife and ripped boxers aside. Edward watches intently. She removes her robe tie and loops it around his neck three times. She sinks into his lap. She squeezes her breast with her curled hand. She yanks on the robe tie. Hips. The image rotates counterclockwise, picking up speed. In the windowless room, the cellar, Asa looks at the ceiling. He pushes himself to his feet. Light falls on a flight of stairs.
Hello?
Down here! Danny! Oh my God, thank God you came.
You called me?
It happened again, okay? This is his body, but it's me, Danny. It's me.
Danny looks around.
What's going on here?
I don't know, maybe it's for some kind of ritual. Look.
Danny points her light at the dark slime. In the bright light, it has a vaguely human shape curled on its side.
Danny, no, this is crazy, okay? But you have to believe
Who
me.
Who did this to you? Do you need help?
It almost died in the old man's body. That's why Asa wanted me to destroy the brain before the third time. But he didn't make it. It changed forever.
What's your name?
Danny bends down.
It's me, Dan. It's Beth.
Oh.
Danny smiles and straightens.
I see. Then where's your body?
I was home. Eddie!
Who are you calling?
Yes, my husband is in danger! Send the police now!
Hello. Sorry to bother you again, but we got a report of a domestic disturbance.
Can we see your wife, Mr. Derby?
She's a little indisposed right now.
I'm afraid we have to insist.
He buttons his shirt.
Okay. Come on in. The cops are here, Doc.
Are you all right, Dr. Derby?
Elizabeth faces the wall. Her robe is tied.
Me? I'm just dandy. Brandy?
She waves a glass.
No, thank you, ma'am. We received a call from emergency services about a domestic assault.
Who reported that?
I'm sorry, officer. It might be one of my patients. I think I know which one. Crazy.
Huxley spots the knife.
Mr. Derby, would you mind stepping into the room for a few minutes? I have a few follow-up questions.
Okay, but you can call me Edward.
Please, go to the house, see if Eddie's all right, please.
Wait a minute. You're that patient, aren't you? Have you been stalking her?
No, he's the stalker. Okay, that's what this ritual must be for. It must be some kind of pact. It must be a sacrifice to make a pact with something. For the power to take over someone's body. That's what it does. One body after another.
All right, that's enough. You listen to me, you little shit. I have the power to have you committed to Miskatonic faster than you can say reasonable doubt. So you tell me what happened to Elizabeth Derby.
Elizabeth leans back on the couch, smoking.
You were saying?
Ma'am, sometimes people don't feel comfortable speaking in front of their spouses.
Don't call me ma'am. I sound like a headmistress. Call me Liz, officer. Huxley.
Edward looks over his shoulder from the other room. Elizabeth blows him a kiss.
Dr. Derby.
Officer Huxley, is it customary that a detective would answer the call for a domestic dispute?
Well, no, but we thought this and the incident at Waite House might be connected. Fascinating.
Elizabeth stares at Huxley's mouth and pulls on her cigarette.
It always comes in threes. Yes, I said after the third time, it's forever.
Danny vapes.
I have one more chance before it's done.
I'm calling the police.
Schizotypal personality disorder. Alexander Lawrence, 2013. Your patient with SPD. When Sean found out about the affair, I covered for you. Nobody else ever knew. All the way through the divorce.
She never should have told you about that.
No. I never would have. We stick together.
Asa holds out his hand.
Danny, please.
Danny reaches toward him. Before their fingers touch, Asa collapses. At the Derbys, a cigarette butt drops into a brandy glass. Elizabeth leans in. Asa and Elizabeth drop to their knees in unison. Asa pulls on the cuffs. Elizabeth grabs her chest. They both move spasmodically. Their hands twist. Danny and Huxley stare. Danny drops to her knees beside Asa. He raises his head slowly without looking at her.
Who the fuck are you?
On her living room rug, Beth's left hand opens. Edward sits beside her. She grabs his face.
Is she all right, Mr. Derby?
You're okay. She just
just had a little too much to drink.
It seemed more like a seizure.
Should we call the EMTs?
No. I'm fine. My husband and I were just celebrating a reconciliation.
Yes, we were.
If that's it, then we're sorry for the intrusion. If you'd like to make a complaint against that 911 call...
No, it's all right. It's all right.
Well, if you're sure you're okay, then you two have a good evening. And pardon me, but I hope we won't be seeing you a third time.
I'll see you guys out.
Beth stares at the empty decanter, cigarette butts, and chef's knife on the table. Asa's left hand is curled into a claw in the handcuff.
Are you okay?
Dandy.
He stands.
Do you remember our conversation?
Let me guess. You're a doctor, too. What happened to keeping it in the fucking kitchen?
He retrieves a key from a ledge near the ceiling and waggles it at her.
What about calling me?
You know, if I don't know who you are, how the fuck would I know your phone number?
He unlocks the cuff.
Are you familiar with an Elizabeth Derby?
Her, I know. Quite the sociopath. All that's missing is the apartment full of cats.
He swings the cuffs.
Did she do this to you?
What?
He holds out the cuffs.
This? Oh, we were just playing.
This was a sex game?
Why? You interested in a round?
Danny steps back.
All this was role play.
Whatever happened was consensual. No means no. Our safe word is out. Now get the fuck out of my house.
Just tell me where she is.
I am sure...
He sprinkles tobacco.
...that she's home.
He licks a rolling paper, maintaining eye contact.
With Eddie.
He smirks. Danny's mouth twitches and she leaves. Asa waves coyly. At the Derbys.
Are you okay?
Me? I was worried about you.
I'm good.
Whew. You're smoking? Oof.
You have no idea how happy I am not to have to sneak them anymore. You want to go again? I'm game if you are.
What do you mean?
What we did before the Cubs game.
What do we do?
All right. If you want to play games, we can start out as strangers. Every time.
Beth winces.
But I want you to know, I've never come like that before. Ever.
He leans in. Beth cringes.
I don't know what got into you. But if you want...
He unbuttons his shirt.
You can cut me again.
Beth stares at three shallow cuts on his side.
I liked it.
She jumps up.
What? What's wrong?
You've got to leave.
What?
I want you to go to our place on Shelter Island.
Why?
You can't be around me. He can't know where you are.
Who are you talking about?
If he does it one more time, it's forever. If I have to make you hate me, I will. If I have to kill myself, I will. But I won't let him have you. Just remember me. Me.
She grabs her keys and hurries out.
Doc.
Her car pulls away.
Elizabeth! No!
Evening, with a trench coat thrown over her robe, Beth crosses her office parking lot. She strides through her office.
There were horrors in that thing that I couldn't reach.
She opens the window.
It's ironic how much you have to lose before you realize how much you really have. What it would mean to have my body taken from me, and how far I would go to keep it.
She sits at her desk and writes on a piece of paper. Dear Edward, I love you. She touches her temple. She gets up and puts one knee on the windowsill.
Careful, Doc.
Asa leans on the doorway.
You wouldn't want to hurt yourself.
I didn't think you'd get here so fast.
I always know where you are now.
He taps his temple, ambling toward her.
Besides, you're not that hard to find. You have such a little life.
What happened to Asa?
Here, there.
He turns over a large hourglass on a shelf.
Who really knows? If he's lucky, he died in that old man's wretched body.
He strokes a porcelain phrenology model.
But there are worse places he could be. Much worse. What matters is that we're here, you and I.
Who are you, really?
You mean the body I was born in?
He drops his backpack.
Oh, God.
He sits.
I hardly remember. I always assumed I was born a man. I had a man's desire to satisfy myself and to dominate. But now I'm not so sure that means I wasn't born a woman. It's all semantics anyway. These days I just do it when I'm bored.
But we're not just our passions, we also connect with our minds.
You're right.
He leans forward.
And who doesn't love good mind fuck? Times have changed. The future is female. And so is mine.
The minute you say the words, the minute I feel you taking over my mind, I'll jump. And then you can have my body as it falls to its death.
You want to play? I'm getting a little aroused here, Doc. Okay. How's about this? You can live.
He slaps the curved blade on her desk.
If you can kill me. Before I become you forever. Then you can be with your husband. You can keep your little life.
Beth grabs it.
Oh, no. Or you can choose the sure thing. Death. Who are you, really?
Light bounces off the blade.
Are you everything you thought you would become when you were born?
Beth glances at the lamp.
How long have you been wandering like this? Body to body.
Beth tilts the knife.
Years?
Reflected light swings.
Generations?
Up and down.
Centuries?
Over his face.
Time is just a shadow to me.
Don't you get tired? The endless changing. Don't you get weary?
His eyes follow the light.
Yes. That's what makes you so attractive. You're something new. New flesh.
Another. New gets old.
His eyelids flutter.
No rest.
No.
Let your mind float free.
Yes.
Floating. Free.
His eyes widen. Beth plunges the blade into his forehead. She yanks it out. He grabs her wrist. The knife falls. They grapple, shuffling toward the window. She shoves him out the window. She watches him fall in slow motion, pinwheeling his arms and screaming silently. He careens toward the pavement. A 2-foot pennant of red coats the cement by his head. Beth snatches the knife and runs to the door. She scurries into the parking lot. Asa lies motionless on his back. She approaches warily. A fountain of blood burbles from Asa's lips. Beth looks at her car. She puts it into gear. Asa lifts his head. Blood streaks his face. In her rear-view camera, he reaches out a hand. She reverses toward him. She pulls forward. On the rear-view camera, Asa slumps against the exterior office wall. She reverses again. His battered face expands, fills the screen, and blocks the camera. She pulls forward. Asa's head lolls onto his chest. She reverses. His growing and shrinking face on the screen is no longer recognizable. He falls to one side, leaving a stain on the white brick. Beth jumps out of the car and stalks toward him, the knife in her fist. In the red glow of her taillights, Asa's eye opens and rolls in his mangled face. The eye focuses on Beth. His wet lips move. Beth raises the knife above her head and stabs him repeatedly. The eye spins in its socket. Red and blue lights reflect off the torrent of blood. Two cops drag her away from Asa into a patrol car. Flashing lights dissolve into the padded floor of Beth's cell.
I wasn't out of my mind, and I'm not now. I didn't kill Asa Waite. I was trying to kill that thing inside him. The thing that's coming for me.
You truly believe that's what happened?
Yes. And I still don't think he's really dead.
His body couldn't have survived that trip.
I don't care about the body. You have to destroy the brain.
A chubby hand switches on a surgical light. Asa's body is sprawled on a steel table. On a paper-covered tray, half a pastrami sandwich is the odd thing out in a neat lineup of steel instruments. Danny's colleague, the pathologist, raises the sandwich to his mouth above his surgical mask.
No, you're a fucking mess.
Oh. He wags a finger and pulls the mask over his nose and mouth.
No one you'd have to smell my pastrami breath.
He pats an intact part of Asa's chest and drops the sandwich back on the tray. He turns a scalpel in his hand.
Okay.
In Beth's cell.
The brain. I'll do what I can.
Thank you.
Through all kinds of weather.
Danny holds out her hand. Beth locks fingers with Danny.
All right. First incision in the sternum, 10 centimeters below the clavicle.
Asa's fingers twitch.
There is...
His intact eye rolls.
Considerable trauma.
The scalpel pierces his chest. He chants through split lips.
Holy shit!
Come on!
The scalpel sticks out of his chest. His left hand shakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
In Beth's cell, the two women smile at each other. Beth's expression shifts. Beth grabs her chest and falls sideways. To end Beth's body spasm, Danny rolls Beth's body over. Beth's left ring finger curls. Asa's body falls off the table, driving the scalpel deeper. Beth relaxes.
Oh, my God.
pathologist treads toward the spreading puddle near Asa's body.
You okay?
Asa's guts trail over the table. The pathologist backs away. Asa's bruised hand claws the linoleum, dragging him forward. Blood flows from his mouth. He reaches toward the pathologist.
It's not dead!
He races out and down the psych ward hallway.
What the hell are you talking about, man?
The security guard stands.
What the fuck?
In Beth's cell.
Beth? Are you okay?
Elizabeth's eyes are wide and glassy. She sits up fluidly.
Beth?
She looks Danny up and down.
Where am I?
A streak of rust-colored blood leads from the autopsy room. Asa's limp foot disappears around a corner.
Am I the patient here? What do you mean? Nothing. You don't remember what happened? Wait. Right.
Elizabeth stands.
Okay. I'm afraid you're in serious trouble, Beth. You killed someone, a patient. Oh, my. I clearly wasn't myself. You know me.
She smirks.
I thought I did. It sounds like a drug reaction. You said you weren't on drugs. Well, that sounds like something a drug addict would say.
She backs Danny against a wall.
So, how are you gonna cure me, Doc? Maybe a deeper examination.
She pushes her fingers between Danny's legs. Danny grips her wrist.
I've only seen one other schizophrenic episode like this. In your patient, Asa, wait. Ooh, I love it when you talk dirty.
Elizabeth leans in.
He went from hysterical claims of possession.
Elizabeth nods.
To perfect composure. Exactly as you just did. Oh, I did.
Elizabeth licks Danny's face like a dog.
What's my name?
She covers her badge.
What?
She throws Elizabeth off of her.
What's my name? Don't be ridiculous.
What's my name?
Is this some kind of test? Yes, it is.
The security guard bangs on the door.
Doctor, it's...
What?
You gotta come now.
The two men enter the cell.
Watch her.
Danny follows the guard.
Hi, boys.
You gotta come with me now. It's over here, Dr. Upton.
The guard points down the hall to Asa's outstretched body. He continues dragging himself forward, dragging his mangled legs. Danny rushes toward him. She turns Asa onto his back. She grabs his wrist.
Code Blue! Get in here! Hurry! Come on! Let's go! No vitals, but she's alive.
She, Doctor?
Paddles!
400.
Clear! Again. Come on! Clear!
Asa's intact eye stares at the ceiling. Danny leans over him and feels his throat. Danny gets to her feet. In Beth's cell, she faces the tall men.
This is all a big mistake. You know me, right?
They look at each other.
I'll suck your cocks if you let me out.
They turn to one another. Danny enters.
go out and help them with the body.
Danny's bloody hand closes into a fist at her side. She glares across the cell at Elizabeth.
Who are you?
I'm Dr. Elizabeth Derby. And you'll have a hell of a time convincing anyone otherwise.
Maybe. But I can keep you here. Isolated. Drugged. Imprisoned until you die.
Do you really want that to happen to your friend?
Elizabeth Derby was my friend. And she's gone because of you.
Well, all my friends are in hell. So yours will have good company!
She rushes Danny and slams her against the wall. Elizabeth holds Danny and punches.
Damn padded cell.
Danny tries to push her away. Danny twists and shoves Elizabeth off of her. Elizabeth's nails leave bloody gouges on Danny's neck. Elizabeth grins.
You bitch!
They grab for one another's throat. Elizabeth chants.
Come on! Patagon! Come on! Come on!
The men flop Asa's blood-drenched body down and pull a sheet over his face. They wheel a gurney down the hall. The security guard shakes his head.
When I'm dead, let me stay dead.
Danny propels Beth into the hall and slams her against the wall, punching her viciously. Beth flops limply.
Dr. Upton?
The guard lifts a gun. He strikes Beth on the head and she crumples.
You all right, Dr. Upton?
Danny.
She tried to kill me. Shoot her.
Beth.
That's not Daniela Upton. I am. I'm Daniela Upton.
Danny.
She's insane and dangerous. Shoot.
Beth looks at her body.
Wait a minute, okay? Oh, hold on.
God damn it.
Danny grabs for the gun.
Wait a minute.
Give me the gun!
It skids across the floor. Beth grabs it.
Get back!
Don't do this, Dr.
Give the book back!
Danny gets behind the guard.
Okay.
Get away.
Okay.
Get away from her, mate! Get away. That is not Daniela Upton.
Danny smirks.
I'm Daniela Upton. She's okay. Crazy. Okay. I know who I am.
Fucking okay. Bitch.
The gory sheet on the gurney shifts.
I know who I am.
With the gun on the guard, Beth peels back the sheet. Asa's hand reaches out. Beth squeezes it. Images of Beth and Danny clasping hands. Puts the gun against Asa's temple.
All kinds of weather.
Blood splashes the wall.
Sorry.
Behind the guard.
Get on! Come on!
Danny chants.
No! Patagon! Come on! Get out of the way!
Beth points the gun at Danny and the guard.
Yeah! Come on!
The bullet flies toward the ceiling. Danny and Beth both fall, seizing. The guard looks between them. Beth's ring finger curls. The guard helps Danny to her feet. Elizabeth straightens and pushes hair out of her face.
Dr. Upton.
Elizabeth extends the gun, smirking.
Wait, hold on. Give me the gun, Dr. Upton.
A hole appears in the guard's cheek. Blood squirts out the back of his head. A red stain appears on his chest. He staggers. He drops to his knees. Behind him, Danny's coat is splashed with blood. Danny cowers. Elizabeth smirks and aims at Danny. Danny flinches. Beth glares at the gun. Danny rams herself into Elizabeth, knocking her into the gurney. It tips over. The bloody scalpel from Asa's chest skitters across the floor. The women roll on the tile. Elizabeth straddles Danny and grips her throat. Danny spots the scalpel. She grabs it and pushes it toward Elizabeth. Beth holds Danny's wrist down. Elizabeth chants.
Shoot her off. Come on.
cabin. Come on.
People in scrubs run down the hall toward them. In Danny's office, coffee fills a mug.
A lot of psychiatrists can't handle it. The pressure of being responsible for keeping the minds of so many other people together.
Edward sits.
I always told Beth I thought she cared too much. But I didn't know how bad her work-life balance had become.
Danny sips with bruised lips.
That must have been very hard on you.
I loved her so much. It started to get better at the end there.
I know. And you should try to salvage the good from that.
From the ashes? Thank you for the coffee. And your time. I know that the two of you are like sisters.
Which makes us family now, too. So please, call me Danny.
Okay, Danny.
And you know you can come and see me anytime. Eddie? I looked into her eyes before her mind completely passed. And I know, in those last few moments, she understood who she really was.
She takes his hand.
We were more than sisters. We were friends.
She kisses him on the cheek. She covers her left hand with her right. She sits behind her desk and tosses down her glasses. She squeezes the bridge of her nose and looks around. She picks up her vape with her right hand. She tosses it across the room. She opens a desk drawer and pulls out a slim leather case. She rolls a cigarette. Her left ring finger remains curled. She lights the cigarette. She blows smoke rings. The scene rotates counterclockwise.
I'm not her. I'm me.
In a cell, Beth wears a straitjacket. The image rotates shakily, picking up speed. The deserted psych ward hallway rotates rapidly. Cut to black. 3D red words appear. Suitable flesh. Audio description written by Ryan Brooks. Narrated by Rick Boggs. Described by Audio Eyes. Credits appear in white letters over the 3D title. Directed by Joe Lynch. Screenplay by Dennis Paoli. Based on The Thing on the Doorstep by H.P. Lovecraft. Produced by Barbara Crampton, Bob Portal, Inderpal Singh, Joe Wicker. Executive producers: Rick Moore, Brian Yuzna, James Norrie, Nina Kolakori. Executive producers: Mark Ward, Emily Gatto, Sam Zimmerman, Joe Lynch, Director of Photography, David Matthews, Production Designer, Lily Bolas, Costume Designer, Yvonne Reddy, Special Makeup Effects by Greg McDougall, edited by Jack N. Gracie, music by Steve Moore, Special Effects Producer James R. Miller, casting David Guglielmo, CSA, Tracy Kilpatrick, CSA, Heather Graham, Judah Lewis, Bruce Davison, Jonathan Shaik, and Barbara Crampton. A Joe Lynch film. Credits continue over black. Cast: Dr. Elizabeth Derby, Heather Graham, Asa Waite, Judah Lewis, Ephraim Waite, Bruce Davison, Edward Derby, Jonathan Shaik, Dr. Daniela Upton, Barbara Crampton, Pathologist Graham Skipper, Professor Fisk, Brett Newton, Crawley Chris McKenna, Detective Ledger J.D. Evermore, Officer Huxley Giovanni Cruz, Susan Anna Mahoney, Mace Jr. Hunter Womack, Dave the Orderly Jonah Ray Rodriguez, Ray the Orderly Joe Lynch, Resident Drake Malone, Nurse Kim Barnard, Sound Mixer Will Denson, Score arranged, performed, and mixed by Steve Moore, Music Supervisor Olivia Schlichting, Copyright 2023, Suitable Films LTD and RLJ Entertainment Inc., all rights reserved. Dedicated to Stuart Gordon. Filmed in Cthulhuscope.